encourages this afternoon. I suppose the word that I'm bringing this afternoon is a little bit different. You'll see what I mean when I share it. When you look around today, the pace and the pressure of living, it seems to have gone mad. There's always some pressure on us. There's always something that we need to do, something we've got to do. There's always something that's sort of vying for our attention. I just listed a few things. Under the general heading of computers, there's mobile phones, there's what are called tablets, these other screen things. There's the television, there's electrical gadgets. There's all sorts of things that's in this modern age. And if you've got a car, you know, that's another added responsibility and another thing that's got to take our attention. Even travelling, we go travelling a few generations ago, some people never left the village. There might be the odd ones now that don't leave the village, but generally people travel a lot more. And material possessions, the sort of things that we have around us now, which we've started to call essential. But a few years ago, because I've been around a few years, I can remember my mother using the wash tub and the separate wringer and dolly tub and different things for washing. And it was much more of a task. And there generally was a day set aside for that. That was a Monday. It was always a Monday, that. Didn't always stay fine, but Monday was the day. And we had a separate boiler. Remember that? It had a chimney out at the back house, and you should have boiled the water up in that. And we've got this sense of must have, got to have. Somebody's got that, so I want it. And a lot of things have changed. But you see, out of all this lot of things that we have, there's one thing that we really need, which is vital. And it's not a thing. It's rest. In all that we do and all that we live now, rest seems to be pushed on one side almost. And we often neglect it, but it's something that can come back to bite us if we do neglect it. When Jesus was in the boat, you know, he's sat in the boat. Well, he's actually gone to sleep in the boat. He's told them they're going to the other side. You'll find it in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. He's asleep on a cushion. He's worn out. He's tired. He's ministered. He's done all sorts of things. And his human body, remember, it's a human body, needed rest. So what did he do? He laid down and went to sleep. Now, it might have been physical tiredness, but it could also have been emotional tiredness. It doesn't tell us. But we know as human beings, we get tired and we need rest. So here's Jesus going to sleep in the boat. He's had a busy day. He knows where he's going and he's resting. That's his human side. But those in the boat panic because they think it's going to sink. The storm's coming. It's getting rough. They're finding it frightening. So they wake him up. What does he do? He stills the storm. He stills it. That's his God side. Never leaves him. He was totally man and totally God, all at the same time. Although he knew, he was a God person, the person who is God. Yet he felt the physical need to rest. We get another item in Mark in chapter 6, verse 30, when John the Baptist had been beheaded, and that was a really upsetting time for Jesus because he was really close to him, and the apostles were affected by it as well. And when you get to verse 30 in chapter 6 of Mark, and it says, "And the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught." And what does he say to them? He said, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while." He knows that they put all the effort in. And there's a little codicil that follows it within that verse. It says, "For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." So rushed off the feet, busy as anything, doing a lot of work. Jesus don't turn around and say, "Well done, keep at it, you know, keep going, keep pushing." He doesn't say that. He says, "Come away to a lonely place and rest." He knew what they needed. Have you ever been there? You're rushed about, you're chasing all over, you're doing this, that and the other, and you're getting fatigued and tired and all. The one thing that you need, that you feel you can't do, is rest. And we've all been there, we've all done that. We've all run around in circles, we've all had the pressure. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, this is Jesus saying, he says, "Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He talks a lot about rest, and we tend to ignore it. We zone in on the rushing about. We think we're being productive. We think we're doing the right thing. And a lot of the time, we are, but we've got to keep the balance. Rest is important, and we'll get to that. That verse continues, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." If you go back to the beginning, God created everything. And he taught the principle of rest. Tells us in Genesis that he created the heaven in 6 days, heaven and earth in 6 days, and then he rested. That word rest in the Old Testament is shabbathon, from which we get the word Sabbath. And that shabbathon means a time of rest. So even right at the start, God is saying, or telling us and showing us about the principle of resting. He rested on the seventh day, it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. We struggle with understanding that aspect of the Bible and that creation. And I think probably we lack understanding in how we read it. But God said he rested. The rested is the Sabbath to rest. You know, we still use that Sabbath in a way, because if somebody's having time off work for a while, we call it a sabbatical. That's the Sabbath. That's using that terminology. The world don't read that, because they still use that in modern language. But God's here. He was showing the principle of resting. And if you look further in the Old Testament, in fact, well, let's just go back. We're talking about that word Sabbath. And Jesus had something to say about that word Sabbath in the New Testament. Back into Mark chapter 2, verse 27. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, Well, he was being prodded by the Pharisees, but he says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. See, we can get very religious and we can be held in a prison, in a sense. But he says that Sabbath was made for man. It was made for the benefit of man. The Pharisees of the day, the religious people of the day, they made it a very tight restriction. Laws, 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 laws. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other. And they held it so tight to control the people. It wasn't meant for that. It wasn't meant to control the people. God instituted the Sabbath to make sure that man rested and got the benefit of that rest. That's why the Sabbath was created for man and not man for the Sabbath. We aren't controlled by the Sabbath. We're controlled by what God wants for us. And he wants us to rest and recover. And the only way we can do it is setting some time apart. And that's his principle. It's funny that when you look in the New Testament at that word rest, they use a word anapausis. When we get the word pause. Now we still use that pause because you'll have a pause button on your television. You'll know all about what pause means. And that again is rest. Now, when you look at the meaning there, it just explains it slightly different. It's talking about, he uses the word repose. Perhaps it's not a word we use too often, but repose, refresh, take ease. And I say a pause. So it's setting time aside. And if you look back to what he said to the disciples, he says, let's go to a place alone. You're not going to pause and refresh and relax and rest if it's all noise. If your life's all noise and it's all noise around you, you're going to find it very difficult to rest. So Jesus said, we'll go to a place that's quiet. That's where you get your rest and your refreshment. You see, when you look at what Jesus said and what the way that creation came, rest, in the principle of rest, is not just important, it's vital. So what happens when we neglect to rest? I've listed a few. You'll probably think of a few more. Stress. That comes lack of rest. Fatigue. Work too long, too hard. Illness. All sorts of complications. Stress can bring complications on fatigue and illness. Burnout. That's a quote of the day, isn't it? In this day and age, burnout. Mood change. Things like depression. They all come from the fact that we can't or don't rest. Short temper. Have we all got short temper? We're all very patient, aren't we? But no. We don't have the same patience when we're tired. When we need to rest. When the pressure's been on us and we're heading towards fatigue, burnout, or whatever else, our temper isn't quite as tempered. it gets a bit extreme at times. But Jesus is telling us that don't approach rest like the Pharisees did. Because the Pharisees laid a rule down, set her down in law. They'd lost the plot. They'd lost what it was all about. Rest is for your benefit, my benefit. When we rest, it is to do us good. Sometimes we can feel we're cheating. We should be doing this. We should be doing that. We should be doing the other. They will get done, but not when you have lacking rest. The job doesn't get done well when you need rest. Because it's a mixture of panic, worry, fear, tiredness, fatigue, and all the other things all mixed in. You know, it was even instructed in the Bible, back in Leviticus, to rest the land. It says in Leviticus 25, verse 4, it says, but during the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath rest. The land. Now, if the land needs it, we certainly need it. It says, you shall not sow your field nor prune your vineyard. Why? Because the land needed a chance to recover. And you know, the farmers still rotate the crops. You'll see, if you have a farmer's field and they sow a crop one year, it'll be a different crop the next. And they do it in a complementary way. A crop that will put some good into the soil they use one year, a crop that will take that out they'll use another year, and so it goes. I think it's a 3 or 4 year crop cycle. But there is also a fallow year. Now, I don't know whether the farmers have fallow years now. They used to. But you'd have to talk to a farmer to ask that. But the principle is that you rotate your crops and you have 1 year when it's fallow and you don't sow anything. And that is to allow the land to recover. What is happening in the world today is overproduction. Now, we used to get a crop sown in spring and harvested in autumn. Now they sow it before the winter. So it's shooting by spring and it's harvested in July. So they can shove another crop in. There's no chance for things to recover. But even the Bible is telling them the way to do it is to rest your land every so often so it gets the benefit of the nutrients and the goodness coming back in. So the land is losing the elements and the characteristics that make it good, that make crops good. They try and put artificial things in. You know, they'll put ammonia in, they'll put various other things in to try and sweeten the land. But the underlying principle that God is saying is that I think they've tended to forget it. I don't see land lying empty for a year. Very rare do I see a farmer's land lying empty. So I think they've forsaken that. And it's to their cost. But having said that, if the farmers are forsaking the land, we can't really say much if we're forsaking it in our lives. Because we need to follow the principle that God's shown of resting. Now it's interesting, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. He throws a nice little wobbly up. It says, starts, thus says the Lord. Thus, because Jeremiah's a prophet, so he's bringing what God says. He says, thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. The ancient paths are what God established. We as humanity have gone away from the ancient paths very much. You know, our Sabbath day now, with the Jews it was Saturday, we tend to have Sunday, but it was a Sabbath day. It was a day of rest. Now, It's a day when everything happens just as everything as the other day happens. Now, I know people have to work. I know, you know, you know that things are required 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But the principle has been thrown out of the window of having established rest where people can rest and recover. We still tend to have the Monday to Friday work week and possibly Monday to Saturday work week, and Sunday tends to be a day off where they go and worship a football team or wherever else. But it's getting back to the principle, and this in Jeremiah, it says, "Stand by the ways and seek and ask for the ancient paths." Where are the ancient paths? Well, they're the paths that God laid down. He didn't lay them out to establish a tradition. He didn't lay them out to have a set of rules and regulation. He set them out for you and me, for our benefit. Because it says, where the good way is and the walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. So if you follow the principle of the ancient paths that God laid down of establishing rest within your life, then you're going to find that it's a good way. God says where the good way is, walk in it. Establish that rest time within your life. The good way is out of favour today. Anyway, but the good way. If it says in the Bible, well, we're not going that way, we're going some other way. The fact that it says it in the Word of God. Oh, you know, that's out of date. No, it isn't. It isn't. It's way, way far more up to date than the greatest wisdom this mankind has got. Because in that book is truth. And the truth is we need rest. And the rest comes in the manner that God wants us to take it. Because he knows that when we get the rest, we do our best. So it's not something that just set off as a fashion. God established that right from creation. And not only does he show it in terms of our lives, it's also the life of the land. Our life depends on land being productive. And they're trying to get as much out of the land as they possibly can. So they neglect the rest. They neglect resting. So when you do the same thing in your life, and you try and extract as much out of yourself as you can, you're neglecting something. And it has a consequence, because the land is having a consequence. It's getting poorer. The land is getting poorer. They can throw the nutrients in and try, but there's a erosion and all sorts of things taking place because the land is being attacked all the time and not given any time to rest. If you find that you're going all the time, and a lot of us do find we're pushing ourselves, we're going and we're going and going. Just a few comments that we'll tend to make. I haven't got time to stop. That much to do, I haven't got time to stop. I've got this to do. I've got that to do. You might get to the point of saying, I've got to the point where I can't stop. This is how I am. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And instead of controlling our lives, we're being controlled by all the events that's causing to rush around. And we might get to the point where I wish I could get off this treadmill. Some people get to that point And unfortunately, it brings drastic things in our lives. And I'm not going to that, but you know what I mean. People can be driven away from life, whereas they should be absorbing life, because they've lost the ingredient that's so vital in the life of resting. Now, God doesn't want idleness. He's not saying, oh, be idle and do nothing and, you know, sort of rest all the time. There's a time to rest. The land was rested, but only for so long. In creation, he rested, but only for so long. He tells us to rest, but only for so long. You know, I don't know quite how we have 7 days in a week, but we know that one of those days was called the Sabbath. We don't call it the Sabbath anymore. Oh, I'm going to church on Sunday. But it is actually a Sabbath day. Now, whether you feel that day is the one that you ought to lock into and have your rest, it might not work for you. But it's the principle of setting time apart to get that rest that God says you need. I'm not telling you need it. God is telling you that you need it in every situation. So just talking about idleness, we use the word lazy. I looked up the word lazy in the dictionary. That's interesting. It says, like an engine running slowly without doing any work. I like that one. But in Proverbs chapter 31, it's going through the work that a mother and a wife would tend to have to do, and listing through them. And one of the comments it makes, it says, do not eat the bread of idleness. Do not eat the bread of idleness. Resting is not being idle. Resting is recovery. And it's what we all need. It talks in Proverbs as well about the sluggard. Now the sluggard, you can imagine, you get a picture of a sluggard. It's not very nice, is it? But it uses that term. And it says in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 14, it says, as the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard in his bed. That's brilliant, that. It says, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is weary of bringing it to his mouth again. You know, this is an attitude, isn't it? And the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes. Yeah, yeah. That's the sluggard. But just looking on the other side again. There's a, I don't know if it's a hymn or a chorus that came to my mind. You'll know it. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. That's the place of quiet rest. When Jesus took the disciples, he said, come, let's go on, place on our own where we can rest. That's the place we need to find in our lives. A place of quiet rest, but that's near to the heart of God. I know that Andrew has said at times when he's been in a difficult place, lost for words, and he used to have in his study, he used to have, I can picture that, a real soft sort of lounge chair. It hadn't got arms on it, but it was nice and soft. And he'd go and sit in that. And he says it was just like sitting on God's knee. He just felt his presence. And that was a place for him to rest and recuperate. You need to find that place in your life. I can't tell you where to go, even when to do it. But all I can say is God says it's essential, it's vital that you find that place and that time. So there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. You know, there's another area that uses the word rest, and it's really like a waiting time. And one of the verses in Psalm 37, says rest, and that means be still in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And that patient means longingly. Waiting longingly for him. Rest in the Lord and wait longingly for him. Do not fret. Oh, so easy to say, isn't it? So easy to say. Because of him who prospers in his way. And we see so many, you know, if you look and you see, you think, how are they succeeding when they're so horrible? But he says, because of the man who carries out his wickedness, he said, but don't fret. They'll get their wages. God doesn't let the evil person get away. He will bring them to account. But he wants you and me to rest in him. He wants us to find that rest. So rest is a God idea. It weren't our idea. Rest is a God idea, but it's for our benefit. And it's so important that we find that place and that time to rest. So don't be religious. Religious is a set of rules. You don't be religious. We're talking about resting in the heart of God to revitalize, to rejuvenate for the fresh day, the fresh week, the fresh situation. Learn to discipline yourself to rest. Now, discipline is a funny word because we often associate discipline with punishment. But the word discipline actually means train. You people that are in a high position in sports and things like that, they are working a discipline. They call this a discipline. We've got a son-in-law who's a very, very keen cyclist. It's a discipline. And he trains. He trains on his... He's got a static bike in the garage. He trains so that when he goes out on the road, he's got the strength and energy to perform. So discipline is a training. Learn to discipline yourself to rest. Listening to that, you have to discipline yourself. You have to train yourself to rest. Don't think you're suddenly going to be able to switch off and do it. But we're looking towards what God says is the best for us. The world's abandoned the Sabbath rest to its cost. And you see it on the news time and time again. What is happening as a result? The world is going chaotic. We don't want to be dragged along by the world system. And it's the world system that's causing us to miss our rest. Because we are trying to adapt to a world that's living wrong. It's living the wrong way. Because it's saying, you know, this 24 hours a day, I mean, particularly in America, you can go in America to different places and you'll find what you want at any time of the day. A bit, not quite like that around here, but you've got to stop the world because the world is going the wrong way, and you've got to establish your rest in God so that you know what God says goes. And God says in your life, find time to rest. Create your Sabbath in your life because it will do you good.